Dennis Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Let's make sure everything is working this week. Last week I had a rough start, I guess. Hey, welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. This is Doc Mike live here on Real Liberty Media. Thanks for joining me live on Real Liberty Media. And if you're downloading the podcast, I appreciate it. The support in the podcast really helps us out. Man, what a crazy week. We're going to get right to it in just a few minutes. Let me get some of this initial stuff out of the way. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy having fun making light of the darkness, and I guess we had plenty of that this week, I guess, depending on who you are. Hey, if you're on a social media platform, would you please post that we're live or post that you listen to the Redneck Dentist Podcast? And spread the word. I'm going to have some updates for you in just a few minutes. I think it's an exciting time to be on Real Liberty Media. Things are going to be changing probably pretty rapidly in the next weeks, months, the next year at the very least. A lot of things are happening here. You guys can catch Hal Anthony behind the woodshed every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. He has a fantastic show filled with a ton of information. The guy talks for 2 hours straight, never takes a break. It's just amazing to listen to him go. I don't know what his background is in media, but man, he is fun to listen to. Okay, let's get into it. First of all, damn time change. Drives me crazy. I hate it. I hate it on both ends of the spectrum. I hate it in the spring. I hate it in the fall. It just trips me up. I don't know. It's like, just leave time alone and let's just do life, you know, and don't change it. I don't know why they didn't, way back in the day when they did this, apparently it was so kids didn't have to go to school in the dark or something. It's like, why didn't you just tell them to go to school an hour later? I mean, seriously. They would have been home an hour before it got dark in most of the country. But instead, we make this stupid law to change our clocks twice a year, and it screws everybody up. If you look at all the health implications of doing it, you'll see. I mean, it's not healthy for anybody. That's terrible. Anyway, I'm not using that as an excuse for anything. I think it's just a comment, really. I do notice I get that kind of seasonal affective disorder this time of year, like when I want to sleep a lot because it's dark for so long. And I don't mean sleep a lot, but I have to adjust my camera. The top of my head's missing, which it could very well be. My head almost blew off this week. I'm kidding. It may have. Anyway. Yeah, I just notice I want to sleep like shortly after it gets dark. And it's kind of funny, we were having this conversation yesterday about the chickens because we have this automatic chicken door. And we were talking about whether or not the chickens were, like the door was not set with the time. But actually, the door was set perfectly with the time because it didn't change because of daylight savings. It changes when the sun sets or rises. I mean, so it doesn't change much, just a tiny bit every day. And the chickens don't change. They don't know what time is on the clock. So when it's time to go back in the coop, they go back in the coop. The door closes shortly after. They all go in. I mean, it doesn't count them or anything. It's just like chickens kind of get into the routine of, hey, it's getting dark out, we better go in our coop, because if we stay out here, we're going to be coyote food or raccoon food or possum food or skunk food or, you know, some predator, bobcat, cougar, whatever. So they just go in, you know, when it's time to go in. So, you know, I mean, I think I would much prefer to be like the chickens, where we just leave the time, the clocks alone, and just go about life. One year I did it. I just decided I'm not changing my watch. I'm just not. I know what time to get up and what time to go to bed, and I'll be at work, you know, probably about the time that I'm supposed to be at work, and I'll get off when I'm supposed to get off, and I'll go home. I mean, it's all good, right? Well, I mean, and it worked out fine. I really didn't have any problems, except if I was talking to somebody and said, yeah, I'll be there at 4 o'clock, it wouldn't be 4 o'clock, because everybody else changed their clocks. But anyway, it was kind of a fun time. Man, I just want to give you some updates on the homestead first, and then we're going to talk about the Real Liberty Media site. Vinny, who is the new owner of Real Liberty Media, came and visited me and stayed with me for a few days, and we had some really good conversations. We solved some problems. We made some progress as far as we're going to be moving to a new site because people want a simpler site. And I hope it's not offensive to Grimner in any manner, but that dude created a very awesome site, and it is also very busy, man. He had a lot of stuff going on, and it's incredible the work he did, but it's time to change it, that's all. And I think it'll be simpler, I think it'll be quicker. Anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. But as far as right here on the homestead, so today we finally burned the burn pile that we've been working on since, you know, they shut off burning in the summertime, the late fall. Well, this year it was actually summertime about the time they cut back the backyard burning or ag burning, which is... you know, here in the valley, out in the country, so you have to call every day and see if it's a burn day or not. But in the summertime, they just shut it off. They just say, yeah, you know, in the fall when it starts raining again, call in and see if it's a burn day. Because between now and then, it's not going to be a burn day. So we finally burned this huge burn pile. It's still out there smoldering coals now. All burned down, but there'll be a little bit of, it'll probably burn all night long as far as the coals go. That's kind of the cleanup of the year. The garden's about done. We have some winter crops that are still in there, some winter squash that we still have to harvest. And we'll get to that, sure enough, but it's good to leave them out there. You know, they're winter crops, so they can take cold and freezing, and they'll be fine. Tomatoes, we have so many tomatoes we have to process. We're really going to have to figure out when we're going to do that, and that's probably going to be, who knows, maybe I'll have to take another day off of work for that. My cardiac rehab, man, I'm in phase 3. It's awesome. I feel fantastic. I had some stories on how to know if you have spike protein problems. I'm probably not going to get to that story today, but it will be on probably the next show on Saturday. So be sure and catch the Redneck Dentist on Saturday. And we'll just talk about that. I'm telling you, it's a crazy time because more and more things keep being discovered, let's say, about the COVID vaccine and the COVID virus and the disease caused by the COVID virus. You know, if you believe in such a thing. And I've said all along, I've said for virtually 2 years plus that we would learn more when people finally got to study what is going on with people, you know, what damage is being done, you know, if this vaccine is doing any good, if the virus is really as bad as they say it is, all that stuff. And here we are, you know, the evil cannot survive in the light. It has to work in darkness. It has to work undercover. That's why they had to censor everything. And by the way, I thought about something that Biden said, and well, when he was running for office 2 years, 3 years ago. I remember this. I wish I grabbed the soundbite. I didn't. He was talking about children, and he said, you know, play stories for your kids. He said, let them hear words. And I thought that was so stupid at the time, but now I'm thinking it was pretty genius. Because what he was saying is, you know, expose them to the current media, whatever that is. And whether it's a children's book, a children's story, schoolwork, whatever it is, basically, the left has been making sure that they've infiltrated our school systems and our education system such that, well, plus you have Disney and some other producers that are producing content that's just brainwashing our kids. So when Biden said that, it sounded really stupid, but actually it was right along with the playbook that the left has been preaching for so long. And here we are, mainstream media again. You know, even though I truly believe they are losing their grip, I mean, with Twitter being the way it is, although I think that's going to be kind of a, probably kind of a letdown also. Elon Musk, hang on, drink time. You know, I think mainstream media is going to go away. More and more people are moving away from the mainstream media because they lied. They've lied for years and years. Hell, who knows how far back they've been lying. But they've been lying for so long, and people are finally catching on. And the truth, you know, without censorship of these social media platforms, the truth is going to come out, and people are going to be able to say, hey, that's not true, or here's an opposing view, or here's how I'm going to, you know, share some information with you that the mainstream media just is not going to share with you. It was kind of funny to see in the last few days before the election, when everybody thought there was going to be this red wave or red tsunami, you saw some of the mainstream media starting to talk about how bad Biden was. And now I guess they're going to have to eat some of their words. Because, you know, Biden really didn't do so bad in the midterms. And, of course, he thinks that, you know, that's given him some kind of a freedom to just carry on with whatever it is that he has planned. So let me go through some of the updates that I wanted to talk about, Real Liberty Media. So I said Vincent Easley came and joined me for a couple days. I think he showed up on Friday. Thursday or Friday, and he stayed a few days. Cowboy Tech came, and we kind of hung out for a few hours. It was awesome, and I don't want to go into too much about who was involved, but there was people involved that we had to figure out how we're going to edit the new site. So there's a few of us who have some skills with editing and coding and I guess building or designing websites or designing art for websites or whatever. But none of us really were like, okay, I'm going to do this part of it. And I think we got to the point where we're all going to do a little something. And we're going to develop this new site. We have some new hosts that are going to start producing shows as soon as we can get them on the air. We'll start having more content and hours of content, not just a show every couple days like I do Wednesdays and Saturdays. Hal only does Sundays. We're going to have content pretty much throughout the day, which will be awesome. I think it'll be great content. And this is what I like to think, is that there's going to be a new way to get information. There already is a new way to get information. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the young people, 20-year-olds, let's say, roughly. They believe that they get all of their news from TikTok, and that's what I'm saying. People are getting away from mainstream media, and I can't wait until mainstream media goes away. But here's the problem. Mainstream media may go away, but their principles and practices are not going to go away. They're just going to try and filter it through whatever new platforms there are, and they're going to try and continue their dominance of information through those new platforms. So I think the best thing that we can do is to get a lot of voices out there. I mean, I encourage people to do podcasts all the time. If you have something to say, man, do your own podcast or come on my podcast. You know, contact me. We'll have interviews. We'll discuss things. Just to have like lively discussions about whatever it is. You know, if it devolves into name calling and you know that kind of stuff, well, we're just gonna stop it because that's ridiculous. That's childhood stuff. But if you want to have like a real conversation, you know, with backed up information, let's do that. And let's all do it, man. There's so much opportunity out there. And it's not that difficult to do. Of course, I'm waiting for something to fail on my podcast here. No, I think everything will be fine. You never know, though. But, yeah, so we're going to have new hosts. I don't know what the span of shows is going to be like. I don't know if we'll have liberals on or independents, or maybe we'll have shows that talk about recipes. I'm telling you, man, I was thinking the other day about the meals we have here at Ravenwood. We call it Ravenwood Farms here, our little homestead. And I was thinking the other day, like we had green curry, the day before yesterday? Yeah, the day before yesterday. Crystal made green curry. She had already mastered red curry. And she said, I think I'm going to try and make green curry. And she did make some green curry. And it was fantastic. And I was just thinking, like when I was eating that meal, I was thinking, man, I think in the last few weeks, I haven't had like the same food, the same meal that we would normally have, which is fine, right? Like some variety, a lot of different stuff. Eating healthy is good. We did have tacos finally. I think that was last night. Oh, yeah, it was last night, Taco Tuesday. And, you know, that's something that we normally have. But, I mean, we didn't order pizza in the last couple weeks. We've just had these fantastic meals. And a lot of variety, which is cool. So maybe we do a show and have, you know, talk about some recipes. Maybe we talk about things that we do outdoors. One of the things I notice that's lacking on Rumble or BitChute or Odyssey are things that are fun, like you see on YouTube, right? I think we're all going to stay away from YouTube. I think the thing is, you know, once you stab me in the back, I'm not coming back to be stabbed in the back again. So whatever platforms have done that, although Twitter made a big turnaround, I do have my little tiny presence on Twitter. Probably, I don't know if you could even find it. You could look up Redneck Dentist, I suppose, and find it. But it's mainly to promote this show, you know, just to try and get people to come and hear what I have to say and, you know, have some discussions with me or tell me if I'm wrong about something. Or have some debate, or hopefully just get exposed to other sources of information other than what you are exposed to every day, what you've done every day. And, you know, just hopefully let some people see that there's another way of thinking. For anybody who is part of the Real Liberty Media website, I really would like you to, you know, tell us, what is it that you would like on that site? Like, are there certain features that you would like to see on Real Liberty Media? And I can tell you, it's going to be a much simpler format to start out with. Basically, it's going to be, you know, blogs, podcasts, and an archive of some information that that's somewhat current, although we're not going to lose anything, so there'll be archives that go a long ways back. I don't think too much of that is going to change. I just think, you know, the busyness on the site is going to change. As far as, you know, looks, it's a very busy site. You get on that site, I mean, it's a little bit overwhelming when you hit the homepage. It's not. I mean, you can find your way around easily, but it's like, holy cow, there's a lot of stuff here. And Grimner did an awesome job with putting that together. But it's going to change, you know, new ownership. New desire, new look. We'll see how it goes. Okay, so I have a lot of stuff I want to talk about, man. Fortunately, doing a podcast, you can go back and listen and see what I've said about the upcoming election. And you can hold my feet to the fire if I say anything today that is not what I said in the past. But basically, what I felt like I said in the past leading right up to the midterms was, we'll see what happens when the votes are counted. Because I didn't have any, I still believed that anything could happen. You know, this big red wave, the red tsunami, the red lava flow, the big turnover, you know, the massive House and Senate sweep. Yeah, it didn't happen. And I got some horrifying stories to tell you about Oregon, man. Might as well go there first, because it's the things that I'm most familiar with. So the Republican candidate for governor that I thought would easily win is right now behind. And she's behind enough, and Oregon is horrible at counting. I mean, they got to use their fingers and toes, and, you know, they got to borrow fingers from other people, and, you know, they're just horrible, 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 horrible. And what's funny is, you know, for 3 years now, we get a daily report of how many people are hospitalized with COVID, how many people got the COVID vaccine, how many people got the second shot of the COVID vaccine. How many people got boosters? How many people got sick from COVID? How many people ended up in the hospital from COVID? How many people died from COVID? How many people, you know, didn't die from... I mean, there were daily counts of this stuff. And yet, it comes to election time, and we can't even get the numbers out to the people. And, you know, it kind of blows my mind that for 2 years, people have been talking about the integrity of elections in the United States and how that was totally screwed up and how there was so much violation. At least some of us understand, you know, if you watch 2000 Mules, you'll see for yourself how that election was rigged, how some shenanigans were going on there. And for 2 years, you would think people would be prepared to, like, have voter election integrity nailed down, ready to go. Like, we're going to do this, and there won't be any question about the outcome of this election. And yet, a few states, Oregon being one of them, is just stupid. Like, it's just stupid that they can't get their crap together enough to actually, you know, have some results. Of course, like, part of it is, you know, paper ballots are turned in even to the last, I think, 8 o'clock last night. So, yeah, they got to gather up from all these boxes all over the state. They got to gather those ballots. They got to count them and recount them and who knows what. Make sure that they're legal ballots and, you know, get the numbers in. But you would think they would have been ready to nail that. Like, hey, this is it. We're going to show everybody that we are ready to prove that no shenanigans are going on. And instead, the day before the election here in Oregon, they were like, hey, it's going to take us a few days, maybe a week, before we know anything. Okay, great. Well, anyway, Christine Drazen, great run at this. I hope that you do win. It's looking pretty grim right now. So the bottom line is for me, hey, Oregon, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. So the woman who is being, the woman who is in the lead right now was the Speaker of the House in Oregon under the past governor, and she's a real piece of work. I'll just give you one example. In one of her commercials that she was supposedly touting how great she is, the commercial said, whatever her name is, I'm not going to say it, that she declared a homeless emergency here in Oregon 3 years ago. And I was thinking, yeah, and in 3 years, guess what happened? It's only gotten worse. So for 3 years, you declared a homeless emergency that you were supposedly going to address as a Speaker of the House in the state of Oregon. And what you actually did was make that situation much worse. Town after town, city after city, what we do here in Oregon is promote more homelessness by offering more and more, you know, goods and services, mainly services. Well, goods too, because we hand out, you know, blankets and jackets and shoes and food and tents and places to sleep and psych services and social services and mini homes and yeah, so not sure what she has done with her homeless emergency for 3 years, but guess what? We're going to have plenty more years of that to come. And Oregon voted for it, okay? It's unfortunate. It really breaks my heart. This is really such a beautiful state with the absolute worst politics of any state in the union. And trust me, I'm going to support that with facts in just a few minutes. But, you know, I guess it's just not bad enough. I guess not enough damage has been done to the businesses in downtown Portland and downtown Salem and Eugene. You know, and I guess we haven't caused enough damage. We were in lockdown for years because we had a tyrant in office, and now her little protege is going to take over. And I would expect that the emergency declaration used against us, citizens of Oregon, is probably going to stay in place so that they can mandate mask wearing, which they still do here in Oregon, not everywhere, but they say if you go into a health clinic, you got to have a mask on, even though science has proved it doesn't do a damn thing. The masks are absolute crap. Just like the vaccine, they don't prevent the spread of COVID virus. They don't protect you from diseases. They don't keep you from going to the hospital. They don't keep you from dying. It's just a show of force. That's the bottom line. It's just to show that they are in charge and they are going to make you dance the dance like a puppet. But that's what Oregon wants. That's what Oregonians want. Portland, Salem, Eugene, they love that. And it's kind of funny. I'm going to tell you one of the things that Oregon did this election. There was what they called a slavery slavery amendment on the ballot. That Oregon still allowed slavery. We still allowed slavery in Oregon. But what it actually was keeping people incarcerated and not paying them minimum wage. So that was the whole purpose of bringing this up was, yeah, you can't keep people in servitude even if they're in prison. So, so we passed this law that now inmates will have to be paid minimum wage, which I think is pretty funny because I think what will happen is they'll just turn around and charge those inmates for room and board and, you know, take any money they make. And then kind of the same, inmates will either work or they won't. That's kind of the way it is in prison, at least the prisons that I worked in. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But there you go. So Oregon passed that. No more slavery. But here's my point. So you vote that inmates can't be enslaved, but yet you stand in line to wear the mask as your governor tells you, and instead of standing up to that and saying, no, we're not going to do that any longer, you just like elect another person who's exactly like the person that is stepping out. Yeah, I don't understand it, but I got more horrendous news. Oregon passed a measure that prevents anybody from buying a gun. And I said, well, I didn't say because I didn't get to it. I had in my notes for the last show, do you own enough guns yet? And the reason I said that is because, number one, if this measure passed, you're not buying any more guns in Oregon. Well, guess what? The measure passed, and you're not buying any more guns in Oregon. And I got to tell you, I bet there's a bunch of gun stores right now that are packing their crap and heading out of the state because they got to make business somewhere. I mean, they got to do business somewhere. And Washington, Idaho, and not California, but Washington and Idaho and probably Nevada are going to get a lot of business from Oregon, I would imagine. But if you think that's the end of it, it's not. That's just the beginning. And I mean, that just, you know what bothers me about this the most? Is I know liberals that own guns. I know Democrats that own guns. I know individuals who are liberals, progressives, that go hunting, that go shooting, that concealed carry, or open carry. But this measure was put on the ballot like, well, what this is going to do is it's going to make it so that you have to get on your knees and go crawling to the nearest law enforcement agency. No, first of all, you have to get on your knees and go beg the state for a permit to buy a gun. That's just the first step, is you have to go beg for your Second Amendment rights to be upheld in the state of Oregon. And you have to ask, please, may I have another bowl of porridge? Because that's the measure they passed. We're going to have a new permit. You have to ask us if you can buy a gun. And guess what? They can say yes, but that doesn't mean you're going to buy a gun. Nope. What that means is you have permission from them to take a course that law enforcement has to give, and once you pass that course, then you ask the sheriff, can you buy a gun? And if you pass the course and the sheriff says yes, then you can go buy a gun. Here's the caveat. There's no stipulation in that measure that says that the law enforcement, and it doesn't even designate which law enforcement, but it doesn't designate or require that law enforcement actually give the class. And you could imagine with as much support that's been taken away from law enforcement here in Oregon over the past 3 years, 5 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, they are down to bare minimum, especially like in Portland. And they're not going to set aside some people to give this course. Are you kidding me? Not only that, there's no money set aside for law enforcement agencies, whether it's state police, county sheriff, city police, local whatever, town, village police. Nobody is being given any money into their budget to create this course and to have people teach this course. So there's no course. So you go ask for a permit and they could just say, hell, they could just say yes to all of them right off the bat. Yeah, go ahead, go buy a gun. Well, I mean, go take the course that's not offered, that we aren't requiring law enforcement to give the course, but you're required to go take the course. We're not providing any money for law enforcement to create this course and to man the course so we have instructors available. Yeah, you just go right ahead, get in line. So like I said, do you have enough guns already? Do you have enough bullets for who knows how long? This state, man, it's insanity. It's truly insanity. So I'm just waiting. I heard that Portlanders were boarding up their businesses already, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, man, I get it. I mean, there's just a threat of violence after the midterm elections. I don't know if it was based on them thinking that there was going to be a red wave here in Oregon. There's not. But even the thought that there could possibly be a red wave and businesses are boarding up their windows. Well, you know what? I mean, you chose to do business in Portland. And you've stayed there literally through Trump's entire administration when you were being burned to the ground, when your windows were being shattered, when looters were taking everything off the floors. You stayed. And you didn't apparently do enough to convince your customers to do something about what's going on in that city. So stay. I mean, stay and board up your businesses. Good luck with that. Don't think the boards are going to stop anything, to be honest with you. Just kind of a... it's just kind of fuel for the fire, if you know what I mean. So we'll see what happens. I can't imagine it's going to... I mean, just imagine. Okay, just imagine this. So let's say... I mean, I'm kind of excited for the next 2 years, and I'll tell you why. Because there's going to be plenty of opportunity to criticize the left and Biden for however long he lasts. Because just think of this. So there's not, I mean, maybe there's a majority in the House. Maybe conservatives have a majority in the House. I mean, it's minor. And, you know, there'll be some rhinos that vote with the Democrats and the progressives and liberals. So you never know what kind of stuff is going to get done in the next 2 years, but it kind of doesn't matter. It'll either be the same that it's been the first 2 years of Biden's administration, or it'll be slowed down a little bit. I could see that happening, that, you know, if the conservatives are in charge in the House of Representatives, yeah, they could slow down some stuff. They could drag their feet if there's no rhinos in there, you know, going to the other side and trying to make friends or believing that the Democrats are going to do them some kind of favor if they get on board with, you know, granting whatever it is the Democrats want. That's how it works, you know. That's how people get bought out. And unfortunately, that's what happens in politics is people get to the... Just think of this. So Joe Schmo, you know, decides to get into politics. And he actually gets some kind of following. And then eventually the money starts coming in and he starts getting, you know, and I mean money from either the Democrats or Republicans. And then they're like, oh yeah, we like your message. You're going to be the next one. And then so they start pouring all this money into this person, right? And that person sees what kind of power that money gives them. And then they get elected and then, you know, they sit down at the table and, oh, they're so giddy because now they're an elected official and people just start offering, you know, hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars to support one thing or another. And they're like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to have so much money in my coffers. I'm going to bring money back to my state or my county or my whatever. And I'll agree to you know, gun bans. Of course I will. I mean, I won't say that I'm actually in favor of gun bans, but yeah, I'll vote with you. You know, I mean, because you're going to give me tons of money. And the problem is, you know, that conservatives, Republicans have been playing this game for so many years and they're just stupid. They're just so stupid and stubborn. They think it's kind of the definition of insanity. Like they think if they play nice that the Dems are going to do something, you know, down the road. And here's the deal. They're all liars. Remember my rule. There's three professions that actually get paid to lie. Lawyers, politicians, and actors. They all get paid to lie, flat out lie to your face. Conservatives, Republicans, tend to try and be honest. I don't know. They don't really. But they think that when they make a deal with the Democrats, that the Democrats are going to uphold their end of the deal. And time again, the Democrats just kick them right in the sack and tell them to get lost. You know, well, yeah, we couldn't do that. Yeah, I can't come out and actually say that. No, I can't really, you know, get on board with you on this, that, or the other thing. And the Republicans just keep falling for it. Just keep falling for it time after time. Look at this election now. So immediately after the election, and I'm sure I have some more stuff to say about Oregon. I'm positive of it, but I'm going to move on a little bit to the national, to what it looks like nationally. So DeSantis just cleaned house in Florida. Like it was a slaughter in Florida. It wasn't even close. In Florida. And what have I been saying for, I don't know, a year? I've been saying Trump was the first one who locked us down. Trump was the first one to take away some of our civil rights because of whatever, whoever he was listening to. Fauci, for example. So he relied on Fauci to give him good information, and somehow he decided that, yeah, it's a good idea to take away American civil rights and put them in lockdown. Well, DeSantis said, F you, we're not doing that. And DeSantis held his ground. And this is what Republicans have to learn. You need to make a stand and stick with it. Stop being wishy-washy and stop thinking that you're going to reach across the aisle and be friends with anybody because you're not. Friendship is a two-way street, and that's not the way it's been. And look, DeSantis had a message, and he stuck to it. And people stand with DeSantis. They're like, yeah, we're tired of all this nonsense going on with our children in schools. We didn't have anybody with that strong a message. I mean, Christine Drazen here in Oregon, she had some of that stuff, but I mean, still, she was kind of like, you know, just not strong enough, not bold. I mean, look at DeSantis. He literally, could literally be standing there with his middle finger up going, yeah, take that. He doesn't, because he's far classier than my brain goes. But, I mean, that's basically what he did. It was like, no, we're not locking down. We're not closing our beaches. We're not closing our businesses. We're not sending our elderly people into snake pits to be bit by the viper and killed in these huge residential virus-spreading environments. He said no. And he held his ground no matter what the criticisms were coming from the left, the center, the right. He said no. And look at this. The day after elections, everybody's like, yeah, Trump's history. Like, yeah, Trump may not have the influence that he once had. And he doesn't. I mean, so Trump-supported candidates didn't do so well. I mean, some of them sucked right out of the gate. Mehmet Oz was a great example. I think Trump supported him in the beginning, and after Oz got the nod from the primaries, Oz just said, yeah, F you, Trump. I don't really need your endorsement anymore. So Oz was kind of an idiot because, number one, he turned down that endorsement, basically walked away from Trump. And went on his own. Now, how he lost to somebody with brain damage, I'll never know. I'll never understand Pennsylvania and how they could have elected a guy who is literally brain damaged. But we're going to, hey, like I said, I'm looking forward to the next 2 years. Honest to God, I am totally looking forward to the next 2 years because we got that to look forward to, right? And we're going to hear time and time again how you can't pick on handicapped people. You know, the guy's got a handicap. What do you expect? Oh, my gosh. It's just going to be one of those rides, man, that you just don't want to get off of. At least for me, you know, and and what I'm looking for. Let's see. I have a note here. I mean, imagine if the conservatives won the House and the Senate. Yeah, now imagine if the conservatives won the House and won the Senate, which is still kind of possible. I think it's only one vote. So it's, I don't know. You know, it's nothing. It's business as usual, trust me. But if the conservatives won the House and the Senate, then what you would hear for 2 years is Biden saying, well, we tried to do this, but, you know, the Republicans wouldn't do it. And then after 2 years, everybody's going to be brainwashed with the mainstream media telling everybody the same thing, like, well, you know, we were going to give everybody $1 million each, but the Republicans wouldn't go for it. Or, yeah, we were going to give everybody free health care, but the Republicans wouldn't go for it. So, and then when election time comes around and whoever's running, they're going to be constantly battered with, hey, how come you didn't vote for cleaner streets? How come you didn't vote for more money for the police? How come you didn't vote for, you know, free health care? How come you didn't vote for more access to voting? And it would just go on and on and on. And people would buy into it. This way, it's kind of like, well, the ruling party is still ruling. You know, it's going to be like everybody's going to be able to point the finger at each other in 2 years when the presidential election and some House and Senate seats come around. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing, and it's going to be interesting to see how that develops over the next 2 years. Now, if it was just a, you know, the red wave that everybody was being told for the last, I don't know how many weeks. And by the way, don't ever trust any polling again, ever. I mean, it should literally be banned. They've gotten it wrong so many times, I think it's time to just call it quits. Let's call it quits on the polling, okay? Because it's so atrocious, you can't possibly believe any polls ever again. You just can't. And I lost my train of thought. But anyway, yeah, my point is, during a presidential election, we're going to have some House seats, some Senate seats up for grabs, and we're going to have this history, a whole 4 years of Biden presidency that we get to look back on, and we're going to see how the economy is going in two more years. And I got news for you, man. Like, we're putting up a lot of food. I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough. I hope I'm wrong about that. I honestly hope I'm wrong about that. I think we've done enough to take care of ourselves and maybe a couple other people. Hate to see people starving, but apparently we don't care. I mean, as a population in the United States, we don't care enough to have changed anything, honestly. And that, we'll see. I mean, we're going to continue to see which way this country is going to go. And if we even survive, I mean, what a target are we right now with Biden? Will still be in charge. He'll still be doing what he's doing. He probably thinks he's empowered now because he didn't get his ass handed to him in the midterm. He probably thinks, you know, that's a referendum on what he's been doing. Or, no, what's it called? What's the word I'm looking for? You know, that everybody approves of what he's been doing, so he's just going to keep doing it. Oh, my God. It's terrifying for me to think of some of the people I know who just are not going to be prepared. And they're going to need some help getting through, man. I mean, honestly, I know people who are already hurting. I know a number of people who are having a hard time already. We haven't even gotten to the shortages that are coming. I mean, it's just now the beginning of winter here in Oregon, here in the United States. We're just starting with winter. We haven't even begun to see how, you know, what the food supply chain looks like down the road, like what the harvest was like across the country, how many more vegetables are going to be harvested in the next month or so before the plains are covered with snow and ice, frozen solid, unable to produce any more vegetables. You know, how many cows are gonna, you know, are there gonna be on the market, and if there's a huge need for them, or if there's a supply chain problem of getting those cows to the butcher and butchering those cows, processing the meat, and then getting them out on the market. And just think in the next year or two, I mean, with the fertilizer shortage that happened earlier this year, whether you want to blame Putin or Biden or whoever, it doesn't really matter. If there's a shortage, there's a shortage, right? It doesn't really matter what caused it or who caused it. If there was a shortage, there was a shortage. So if we were unable to produce as much food, as much silage, as much corn, as much grain as we ever did in the past, that's going to trickle down. So how many beef can you feed if you have fewer and fewer resources to feed those beef? And if you can't feed enough beef and there's fewer steaks on the market, or let's be realistic about that, if there's fewer pounds of ground beef on the market, if the supply is low, the price is going to be high, right? The demand is going to be high because, you know, 100 people want that pound of beef and there isn't 100 pounds of burger. There's 1 pound of burger and 100 people want it. You can imagine the price is going to be high, and it's going to be high for a number of reasons. One is the demand is high. People want to make money off of their product. Of course, that's how business works. The price is going to be high because fuel prices are high. They've remained high. The price is going to be high because the amount of food available to feed those animals has been limited. So the demand for that food has been high, which makes the price of that food high. It's a trickle-down situation. Every step of the way, okay, getting the beef, getting the food to the animals costs more because there's fuel involved. Getting the animals to the butcher is going to cost more because there's fuel involved. Getting the animal product, the steaks and the hamburger, to the market is going to cost more because there's fuel involved. Every step of the way is going to cost more. So you have a higher cost of producing anything, and then the amount produced in the end is not enough to feed everybody, so the demand is real high. Everybody's going to pay more. It's kind of terrifying in a way. And it kind of makes me sad that some people are not going to survive this. But, man, in Oregon, I guess Oregon's probably the richest state in the union. That's probably a good thought. Probably we just have so much money here in Oregon, because with all that I just said about the cost of products, food, we're just increasing the number of homeless people like crazy. The Oregon's goal is to make sure that the homeless are taken care of. That was the big issue that people ran on in Oregon. The Democrats kept preaching is, you know, we have a homeless crisis in Oregon. We have to deal with it. That and killing babies. Of course, if you think about it, maybe that's their approach to solve the homeless problem, is to kill more babies, because we're a sanctuary state for killing babies, and it doesn't matter what age, although so far we've actually not crossed the line into killing them after they're born, but it's probably just a matter of time. And I mean that sincerely. I do mean that sincerely. Oregon is just that progressive. They won't say it, I don't think. Like, if you could call them, if they would actually ever answer questions about their real stance on abortion, maybe they still wouldn't say, yeah, we think you should be able to kill your kids until they're, you know, 6 years old or 8 years old or 13 or 15 or 18. You know, until they're productive adults, I think, you know, yeah, you should be able to euthanize them at any point. They won't actually say it yet, but it's just a matter of time before they get there. In my opinion, it's just a matter of time. Because that's there's three main areas that the Democrats, you can guarantee, these are the three things Democrats will do. Well, now I thought of a fourth one. Basically, provide services to the homeless, kill babies, forcibly reduce the cost of products. So instead of paying for a product what it costs to produce that product, they're going to go tell businesses who produce things that you have to charge less. We don't care how much it costs you to produce it. We want you to charge less. And if you don't, we're just going to mandate that you can't charge, you know, whatever price for your hamburgers, for your meat, for your drugs, for your clothes, you know, whatever. And if you are really good at producing things, but it takes resources, well, then you're going to pay a greenie tax on top of everything else. I just want to thank you guys ahead of time. We're getting ready to close the show. Thank you for for just thanks for listening to Redneck Dentist and supporting me. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.